page 41. We've been talking about the Indian of Tamimus. The Midah of Tamimus. And how over the course of our lives we become trapped in a convoluted way of chachmas. But chachmas here doesn't mean intelligence. Certainly the Torah very much encourages us to be intelligent and has very little tolerance for foolishness. It's not the point. But there's a difference between a person who loses the sincerity and the clarity and the simple truth of a child and a person who simply is a fool. The greatest midah in the world is for a person to be tamim, to be simple. That was the midah of Yaakov, you know, that's what we've been talking about, that pashtus, what that means, and the pitfalls that are in the way of being able to maintain this level of tamimus. So we're we're finishing this, that inyan on page 41. And we just read the top of the page. We'll just repeat that little paragraph on the top of 41. The da'aka shahasheka nimtza b'koyach b'isha filo me'ino ayim esheka b'poyo la'ed shahuev. There are people whose entire lives are false, even though they don't lie. They don't say an eitz is an evan, the tree is a stone. They're not liars. You can't catch them on a specific lie. But the entire life is a sheker, is false. Tamim is emes mitzias hanefesh chasla, because the person is missing that sincere and simple truth of allowing his nefesh to express itself. There are some people that when you try talking to them, Hashem Yirachem, we shouldn't fall into that. The people that when you try talking to them, you can't get a straight answer. They're not lying. There's not one lie, and you can't, and they'll pass every lie detector test. They haven't said anything that's not true. They're just not saying anything that's real. They're not real. And it's always like, hey, it's some line, or it's this, or it's that. You know, schmoozing, and they do the same thing with their wives, with their kids, but it's always schmoozing, it's dumb, and Irishkeit, and talking. But they could be talking about very chashuva things, articles that they've read, and books that they've read, and ideas that they have. But these words are never coming from a place that's real. This is stam. Shmooz, his whole life he's shmoozing, he's talking. So he says, Me'ata, he says, Chave mechavar aseinu targil as atzmacha. Therefore the Rebbe says, that any one of our chaveim, says anybody who wants to belong to this elect society that he's trying to create of the B'nai Machshava Tova, he says, Me'ato chove mechavra, sayna targilas atzmacha, accustom yourself, train yourself, tasmid behagala chaza, and be a masmid in this, continue with this, liyos pashton tam b'tmimus b'chol ninyanecha, to be simple and to be sincere in everything that you do. Hein b'shar shatam adabrim chavarecha. This is when you're talking to a chaver, to a friend. V'hein b'shar shatam chayshav machshava, even when you're thinking thoughts. V'hein chav v'hein atzmacha, just within your own mind. Leitis leitzeitz, don't fall into leitzonis, into that type of a thought pattern that is foolish, that is silly, that is insincere. And stop trying to always figure out something about that friend of yours that you could make fun of, that you could mock, that you could joke about. You don't see this by anything else in the world. You know, you don't see, like we were discussing, you don't see a plant, you don't see an animal, you don't see anything else in the world that operates in such ridiculous terms. If you would stop one time, if you're in a place where there's a lot of diburim, there's a lot of talking in shul or in the hallways, whatever it is, if you stop once and you try to distance yourself from it, one time, you're an intelligent person, you try to distance yourself from it and listen to what it is and try to listen to the kind of chatter, the kind of silliness, the foolishness, the narishkeit, the way people talk and carry on and what they have to say. If a person is able, if a person is able to see this in a true way and to realize how we spend most of our lives talking about the most absurd things and things that have no tachlis, that are not connected at all to who we are. And particularly even if it's a makom kedusha, if it's a place of kedusha, the place where a person is supposed to be talking to the Baruch Shalom, where even though the rest of the day you might have to be in a situation at work where you have to engage in all type of handling and negotiating and talking, and you have to talk to people a certain way, that a person who has at least three times a day where he could be sincere, he could be real, a person standing in shul, a person's davening, and you see that this is davka, we see that this is a place where davka people are running away, and davka in that place where they could be sincere, and at least there should be some tamimus coming from them. So that's where the greatest challenge is. So he says, "V'machshava shekvar nischazka lecha ad kai." Now remember that the Rebbe was saying that one of the most dangerous things is batola. Batola, idleness. You remember we were talking a lot about that last week. That a person that has nothing to do, a person who's idle, means by mitzad machshava, his mind is not forced to work so hard. Even by mitzad haguf, even physically, he's just a person that's idle. So this is a very dangerous thing. So the Rebbe says, try to imagine yourself standing in the presence of Hashem. And everything that you do, whether it's at home or it's out at work in the field or wherever your work is, try to imagine that everything that you're doing in life is an effort, is an attempt to pay Hashem something of the enormous debt, the enormous debt that each and every one of us owes to Hashem. Try to imagine that. Himrak shilum chayv avados chaylov yisborach. Ulchal lidchayk lahoyitz esatzmacha. And you are obligated, you must motivate yourself. Lahoyitz atzmacha. Kedeshatucha l'shalom is gadol chayvcha. What are you sitting around and doing nothing? How could you sit? What are you sitting there? You don't learn. You don't daven. You're not doing anything. What's the matter with you? Do you stop and think for a moment about the enormous debt that you have? Of everything you look around, you appreciate having it. You appreciate having your family. You appreciate having your house. You appreciate having all of the wonderful things that the Baruch Shalom has given you. Your health. You don't feel in the slightest bit motivated to do anything to pay that. To pay something of that debt. You don't feel the slightest motivation to do anything. He says, if you think about it, that's what he's explaining here. Even if you would work your entire life, even if you wouldn't stop the Torah and Avodah, your whole life, Maybe Kulehai, you could pay half of what you owe the Baruch Shalom, not even to pay the Baruch Shalom. If you would think about this, you wouldn't have time to. You wouldn't feel that you had the time to take an extra breath. You'd be so busy. You wouldn't have time for an extra neshima. You wouldn't have time. You wouldn't waste time for a neshima achas. To the extent that you're able to fix this thought in your mind that all of life, every single second, you have work to do. And there's an enormous debt that one is in the process of paying back. This will take away from you that idleness, that sense of meaninglessness in your life. And you will be careful with what you say. Your life will be one that's filled with sincerity and with depth. Let me read to you now. Since he's going on to the next Indian that the Eish Kodesh is moving on to here. Of course, it's all within one context to create this Ben Machshava Toivah. But he's moving on to the world of Nagina, of music. The next Indian that the Rebbe talks about is Nagina, of music, which itself is a very deep Indian. and have to be careful to try to stick to the page and to limit it to what the Rebbe talks about, because the subject of Negina is one of the deepest, most and most expansive in Yonim that's found in all of Chassidus. But to go, but to go past the Inyan of Tmimus without at least bringing one Torah, one teaching from Rabbi Nachman would be a crime. Since the whole Inyan of Rabbi Nachman Breslov, that amazing genius, the Baal Shem Tov's great grandson, whose mind was so complex, but who devoted so much energy to trying to encourage Jews to return to this way of Tamimus, of Pashtus, that the Rebbe's talking about. But the whole all the Torahs of Rabbi Nachman are revolving around this subject of Pashtus and Tamimus, and that's how he spoke about davening and his Beidus and the way Bechlal, how he dealt with everything. There are many, many Torahs of Rabbi Nachman that deal with the subject of Tamimus. He has a story that it would definitely be kedai if any of you have the Sipur Maisius from Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Kaplan, Rabbi Shalom, translated into English Rabbi Nachman's tales with some commentary and explanation, because every word of his stories is filled with all types of deeper meaning. So there's a story in Rabbi Nachman's, one of his stories, it's called Achacham V'Hatam, the clever man and the simple man. And that story of Achacham V'Hatam, the clever man and the simple man, if you learn it, and you go over it a few times with the commentary, then this Indian that we're talking about, Tmimus, will come out very, very clearly. Today is Reb Nosson's Yahrzeit. So Asar B'Tavis, Reb Nosson Breslov's Yahrzeit. Reb Nachman said, without Reb Nosson, nothing would have been left of him in this world. So today is Reb Nosson Breslov's Yahrzeit Taka. And listen, let me read to you just a little bit for 5 minutes from one of Rabbi Nachman's Torahs, but it certainly is kedai to see. And the subject of Tamimus in Breslov is one of the yisoidis of the whole chassidus of Breslov. One has to look into the teachings of Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Nosson to understand. So let me just read to you a little bit. There's so much, just one. Iker kol hanefilas hem al yedei chochmas. Rabbi Nachman says that the iker kol hanefilas, the underlying cause of all of man's downfalls, iker kol hanefilas hem al yedei chochmas, is the result of chochmas. And he translates chochmas, shrewdness, cleverness. Ki kisha adam hoylech achar chochmasoi, because if a person tries to be overly clever and to always follow that cleverness, that shrewdness, he can bring himself to terrible evil. A person gets lost from one chachma to another, goes into one chachma to another chachma, until he becomes totally lost and bewildered in the complex web of his own chachmas. He doesn't even know what he thinks anymore. He doesn't even know what he really feels. He spent so many years. You know, I stop and think about this every day, not once, many times, that, you know, when I'm saying something, when I'm thinking about something, I'm trying to remember where that comes from. Where did I start thinking that way? Is this something that I really believe in? Is this something that's dumb? I don't know, I picked up along the way, and I'm just repeating like some sort of a parakeet. I mean, I don't even know where it comes from. Just think about it. Where does this go? Why am I saying this? What am I? And sometimes I catch myself, and I realize that, you know, that what I'm saying now, and the way that I'm talking now, this was one of my favorite television shows, like in 1968. And I realize, like, I'm just a character from some stupid show in 1968. And it's unbelievable. You think it's already, you know, it's long enough time to get rid of that. And chachmas and chachmas and imitating and narishkeit. So he says, the person becomes totally lost. He doesn't even know who he is. Achnasa kimeshuga mamish rachman al Islam. He become like a lunatic. What's a meshugana? Meshugaim are very appealing. They have a great amount of appeal to them, meshugaim. A meshugana, you know, there's a difference. There's a meshugas and there's a meshugana. You know, there's a very big difference. Everybody has Meshugasim, but then you have a person who's Meshuga and Gansim. So a Meshugana can't hold on to one Inyan for any amount of time. A Meshugana always changes from one personality, from one type, from one thought. He jumps constantly around from one thing to another. So he says, you can come to a point where you completely deny the Rebbeinu Shleilam. And look for the Malkus Shleilam b'chol atzadik emes, to deny Hashem and the tzadikim b'chol oilam nasez lo kelo. The whole world to you is like nothing. Why? Misloitzes mikol oilam. Because you've become a complete and total joker. A complete and total joker. All you ever do all day long when you meet people, you talk to people, you're trying to be clever, you're trying to make an impression, you're trying to make cracks, to make jokes. That's all you do. So he says, you make fun of the whole world, like the whole world is one big mistake. You become low and despicable. This person, he says, is never happy either. If you look there in the story of the Chacham V'Hatam, the clever person, the shrewd person, the life of the party, he's never happy. Never in his life, he never achieves simcha. He can never have simcha. Anything that you do with him, it's keneged ritzono. He always has a taina. It was never the way it should be. It was never good. It's always with a taina. He always has a list of grievances. This person lives his entire life because there's no pashtus. See, a person who's pashtus, Rabbi Nachman says this all the time. Tamimus, yeah, Harry. Yeah, you need two people. Three. Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway. I'm sorry. A person who goes in the way of tamimus and pashtus, he never feels that something is coming to him. He doesn't feel that something is coming to him because he doesn't have a whole distorted, convoluted view of life and of himself. Pashtus and tamimus means that I owe to the Baruch Shalom, and that's the debt that I have to work on paying back. As far as everything else in the world, when it comes to a person who's poshut and who's tamim, he goes about his business with his davening, with his learning, with his mitzvahs, and he doesn't go throughout life about how come this one didn't do this for me, this one doesn't do that for me. My wife, my children, my friends, my teachers, everybody owes me. A person who's poshut. It means being completely sincere. It doesn't mean you can't have a sense of humor. It doesn't mean that. The tzaddikim, including Rabbi Nachman, had a great sense of humor. But it means being who you really are, being real. And when a person is sincere and is real, and he speaks from his nefesh, not all these convoluted things. So when a person is real, Rabbi Nachman says all the time, and he doesn't get lost in these chachmas and in this letzonis and so on, so then he doesn't get caught up in these silly expectations, in these silly demands that he has, that he makes of everybody.
How do you know what's real? How do you know what you're thinking?
Okay, that's a good question.
Because we're used to a world of that.
Yes, the question is, we have to chazer over the entire sefer. You're right. We're going to chazer Mitzvah Shem. We have to chazer. Yeah, that's what you're saying. Because until now, that's what we're learning. We have to chazer. How to be in touch with one's machshava. That's what he's talking about. How to know who you really are, what you're really thinking. Right. So we get caught in so many things, that the way that we're brought up, the way that we're raised, the way that we look at things. it's very hard to know what we're really thinking. You know, that's what we were saying this last week, 2 weeks ago, that when you joke long enough, you make enough cracks, and you're saying things, so you actually, you know, you start to believe in them. It's like, you know how propaganda works, and we're our greatest enemies. You know, we throughout our lifetimes, we're creating a whole propaganda machine, and then to the point, you don't even know whether you think that or you don't think that. Well, there's a famous story I've said here in the shul a few times from Satmarov. It's an unbelievable maaseh from Satmarov that he was. And he had a very distinct way of davening. I was lucky to be there many times on the Satmar Rabbi daven. So it was once, it was a chasana. And you know, by a chasana is the chassidim. Al hayom, they tried to have by a chasana, there should be a badchan, you know, someone that tells jokes. But it's not stam, the talented badchanim were people who knew how to weave all kinds of Torah and things into in a song, and they usually would poke fun at the chasam kala, the families, but it was something that's a very harsh of a thing. They were very talented people. So there was Molinsburg, a famous one. My father actually knew him very well. and before it was time for the chasam tish to do this, so the badchan, this clown, so to speak, he asked the Satmar Rebbe for rishus. He asked the Rebbe, could I imitate you, Rebbe? And the Satmar Rebbe, of course, said, of course, that's wonderful. That's part of the Simchas Chasam Kal. So the fellow gets up, he's doing all kinds of shtick, he's very good, and then he starts to imitate the Satmar Rebbe's davening on Rosh Hashanah Kippur, the way that the Satmar Rebbe davened, which is very unique, and he had a very high-pitched, intense way of davening. And he was imitating the Olam was laughing, it was gewaldig. And when he started, the Satmar Rebbe started to laugh, and he was so hard that he was, you know, he was crying, it was so funny. And all of a sudden, he started crying mamish, and everybody stopped, and he was crying. He wasn't laughing, he was crying. And every that day, you know, that ended the party. And then and the Badchan came running over, and he threw himself on the floor, and he held onto the Rebbe's feet, and he said, I'm so sorry, Rebbe, I asked Rishus, and the Rebbe gave me Rishus. So the Rebbe said, no, you're terrific, and of course I gave you Rishus. But I'm listening, you know, you heard me a few times, Davin Rosh Hashanah Kippur, and look, what a terrific impersonation you do of me. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm ready, how many times I've, you know, I'm davening with myself all these years, and maybe I'm just impersonating the one or two times that I really davened. Maybe it's not even me anymore. Maybe it's just an impersonation of myself. Imagine such an unbelievable way of thinking. Maybe I'm just impersonating myself. Can you imagine when we shock or when we daven v'chlal? It could be that we're impersonating a kid that was in third grade in yeshiva. It's not even a sincere word. And what Rabbi Nachman is saying is that this person, he gets lost in this convoluted thing, in this insincere construct of what life is all about. And he says, as a result of that, he also has terrible yisurim. This person, the Leitz, the Chacham, he has terrible yisurim. You know why? Because Sof Kol Sof is a Yid, he's a Jew. So once in a while he stops and he thinks, what do I have? Is this person really my friend? Is this person really my friend? Or is this just some guy that I schmooze with in the locker room, you know, or at the Kiddush club, like, you know, hey, and this and that. Maybe I don't really have any friends. Because nobody really connects to me, and I don't connect to anybody on a deeper level. And he always has that list of grievances. And nobody in the world is yaitzeh with him. Not his wife, not his parents, not his kids, not his friends, not his rebellion. No one is yaitzeh with him. No one is ever yaitzeh with me because they didn't give me what... But they don't understand me, they don't give me, they don't connect to me, and so on. But they don't connect to you because you're in constant lates, and you don't know even know who you are. So he expects people to understand the person beneath the clown. He wants everybody to know who the person is beneath the clown, although he himself doesn't show that part of him. But therefore he always has yisurim. He wants everybody to be sensitive and to know what the real person inside of him needs. But the way that he presents himself to everybody is with that persona, that the buffoonery. The late son is the chacham, is the narish guy. Makal mashem esnaigim ha'kol kenegdi b'tzonu v'molik kasem ha'chayim. Therefore, he's always angry and he's filled with pain. Gam b'shas haslachos o'gdol, even when he's matzliach, when he's successful. Mikol shekin achakak shi'erim ha'malasa. V'boim alov anoshim koshim morim rachmona l'tzonu. Afterwards, when he suffers and he goes through difficulties, he says people who really are deeper people, when they listen to him, they know that everything that he says is like a meshuga mamish. People who are sincere and serious people, they look at him like he's a meshuga mamish. That's what I'm saying, that to stop once at one of these things, like, you know, at one of these talkathons when you're in shul, and look at what people are saying and stop and think that we look like a bunch of mishagoyim that were standing here before the Ribono Shel'Olam. We're standing here by the Kodesh HaKadosh, before the Sefer Torah, before the Ribono Shel'Olam, and we're talking about such phony, silly narishkeit. And even when he goes through suffering, he continues to hold on to his chachmas, and he has all kinds of explanations. Therefore, he finds no meaning in his suffering either. He doesn't even interpret his suffering, his difficulties, with any truth in any sincere way. Because the chacham, he says, the underlying problem of the chacham is that he sees the whole world really. He sees the whole world through the eyes of cause and effect. See, the Tamim sees everything as Hashgacha Pratis. Everything is straight from the Baruch Shalom, directly from the Baruch Shalom. That's the Tamimistic person. He sees everything through the eyes of Hashgacha Pratis. The Chacham, the shrewd and clever person, his Emunah is very weak. His Emunah is very weak, and he sees everything with all kinds of Cheshbainis. This and that, you know, it's the market, it's the economy, it's who's president, who's senator, who's governor. And everything has all kinds of explanations in Chachmas, never in just the Pashtas and Tmimas. So he goes on, he says, Alamisha Zoich Elelech Bedarcha Tmimas Behemes, who Chai Chaim Amitim Chaim Toivim Behemes. A Jew whose life is a life of tamimis, he lives a good life. Chaim amitim. Regardless of what he has or he doesn't have, he lives a life that's true, and that he has simcha. Veshem is nahi gimoy hakol tei v'yoshel afanufu molei simcha tamid. Whatever people do, he's molei simcha tamid. He's filled always with happiness. Like the story that Rabbi Nachman told about, I once learned here in the shul with you. But Rabbi Nachum himself once told a ma'aseh about there was a certain yid that he, when he would ask his all every night, when he would come home, he would say to his wife, "Okay, he's ready, I'm ready." He said, "Bring out the delicious roast," and all she had for him was bread, and it was the same and beans. And he says, "Oh, this roast, mamish, is delicious. Now bring out my favorite beer." All he had was water. He would drink, and he says, "Ach, a tam gan eden. This is the most delicious." And then he says, "Now I want to go outside a little bit, bring my fur coat." And he had a torn, messed up little thing. So, "Ach, this is my fur coat." And so every single thing, so you look at him, you say, "The guy's a moron. The guy's sitting with a piece of bread, he has water, and he has some torn, messed up coat." And so what's Rabbi Nachum saying? So he's an idiot. He doesn't understand that that's not a piece of meat. He doesn't know it's a piece of bread. And he thinks it's beer and it's only water. So Rabbi Nachum is saying that this is the way that a tamimizdik person lives b'simcha his entire life. That whatever he has, he tries to see the good in it. He tries to enjoy what he has. He tries to taste, instead of always thinking what could have, what should have, what would have, and so on. He always lives in that way of trying to enjoy and trying to derive pleasure from what he has that moment. Even if he only has a piece of bread and water, he tries to enjoy it. And he tastes in that bread and that water all of the delicious tastes of this world. He's alluding to that story. And so in a person, the way a person dresses. Let's see, he has one lowly type of an outfit. He enjoys that what he's wearing. As if he had all the best clothing in the world. The Tamim is never missing anything. He's never jealous of anybody. He rejoices in what he has. Even spiritually, what does that mean? He rejoices in what he has spiritually. You always have to try to become better. He's not thinking all the time, "How come I'm not so smart like the other guy in the yeshiva? How come it's so hard for me to do a mitzvah? How come it's so hard for me to give tzedakah?" He works with what he has, and he doesn't think about it, make all these cheshbonos. He just does what he's supposed to do. He never tries to see what the other person is doing. Veinim b'spal gami halaytzani shalaytzani hador, and doesn't bother him, and people make fun of him, a joke. V'arfilu k'shei misleitzim yimenu humeishiv lehem b'tamimus b'emes, even when they make fun of him, he responds in a simple way. He doesn't, or he doesn't answer. Medabrim kol adam b'tamimus gada b'lishum armim yus klal. He speaks to each person, every person, with complete and total tamimus. We should try to do this one day. Can you imagine one day to try to talk, to try to think this way? When a person has this midah, then he could reach tremendous and awesome levels in avodas Hashem. He could be a true judge of his actions. And there's no problem. You could become the greatest scholar in all of the chachmas. You can become a tremendous chacham. But even when he is brilliant, and he is the biggest chacham, he never abandons this path of simple sincerity, of being simple and of being sincere. And this Jew is considered the most precious in the eyes of the king of the world, in the eyes of Hashem. To the king promotes him to the highest positions, Hashem. He says these people who got lost in all of their chachmas have to go through terrible suffering and punishments. In this world and the world to come, like a person's whole life is one big joke, one big lie. So when he comes to the Olam Ha'emes, that's the most painful thing in the world. It's like they, you know, he says, "Hey, how you guys doing?" He starts to make like cracks that he made in shul. You know, he starts to make the same cracks. Say, "Hey," so it's no joke. He got a bez. There really is a bez of shemala. Oh, wow. So what do you guys do up here all day? And they look at him. Nobody's laughing. You know. No one's laughing, not a malach is stirring. And he says, "What's the matter? You guys, you don't have a sense of humor over here?" You know, and the guy's still trying to talk, but he talks to his wife, to his friends. And he says, "Hey, you hear the one, there was a guy, there was an Italian, a Polak, and no one's laughing." And he says, "Well, what do you think about that? Do you think there'll be new elections in Israel? What do you think?" No one's talking to him about this stuff. And he's pulling out his best material. He's reaching deep into his best material. Then he says, "Oh, I see, like, you're serious, it's a serious chavra over here." So then he starts to talk about something that, you know, that's some baloney that he used to say to his girlfriend when he was 17 to try to look like he was a sincere and serious guy. You know, that. And he says, "Yeah, this is the Olam Ha'emes. Listen, you can't do that over here anymore. It's the Olam Ha'emes." So then he doesn't understand why he has to go through, God forbid, all types of suffering and misery. His whole life was namazdik. The whole life is mamish, one big late son, is one big chachma. So he says, "V'achus tikkunim yirak ayidei elu atzadikim makshayim hatumim yederach." If you want to change in this world, so you shouldn't have to go through this suffering. So he says, then attach yourself to the tzadikim makshayim tumim yederach, to the true tzadikim who go in the way of the complete tumimus in that simple and pure way. And there are so many Torahs in Rabbi Nachman where he begs us to return to this path of Tamimus. But to get a picture, you know, it's difficult to say exactly. David's asking, "Salamaisa, what does it mean?" I mean, we were talking about before that a person speaks with his nefesh, from his nefesh, and he tries to, and he doesn't care, he's not concerned about what people think about him, that he should impress people, and what the world says, and what society says, but just to do what's right, to be emesdik. That is the aside of this midah of tamim, it's not to be concerned with what people think of you, of what kind of an impression you're making, of whether or not you're with it or you're not with it, but to be a simple Eved Hashem. And that person, the reward for that person is not just in the world to come, but even in this world, that person goes besimcha. He's always in a state of joy. He never feels. He never has tightness against everybody. how come you didn't, you know, you weren't mechabed me enough, you didn't honor me enough. Where does that come from, that a person feels so slighted? He's sitting there and someone's making a speech and they're saying, I want to thank so-and-so and I want to thank so-and-so for helping with this and that, and you're waiting to hear your name. Even though you did the least of everybody, right? But the guy, and then and you're waiting to hear your name. And then the guy says, and I also want to thank my wife, so-and-so. He says, oh, he's moving to the Nekevis already. And then you say, and you think, I'm a Chmanazach, you think it's like a Boris, you know? He's already moving over to the women. And he says, and I want to thank my wife, and I want to thank, you know, Aunt Bessie, and I want to thank my grandmother, and so on. You think, I can't believe what a rush of Marusha. And then and he leaves you out, and your heart drops to the floor. And afterwards he remembers, and he says to you, you know, I'm so sorry, I left you out. He says, nah, what are you talking about? Ah, silly, you think I care about that? And he comes home, he's totally broken, he can't talk to his wife for 2 days, and she doesn't understand what's bothering him, because somebody didn't say his name somewhere, or they didn't put him in a certain seat, or they didn't give him a cover somewhere. And he becomes sick and upset and depressed from Irishkeit about what somebody thinks of him, because if he didn't get that aliyah, if he didn't get that kibbutz, if he didn't get that place, then the world thinks I'm not choshev, and I'm not choshev. I'm no chshivas, I'm a nobody. And his whole way of judging himself, of looking at himself, is how other people look at him. Whether they put my name here, the mechabed me, whether people recognize me, and so on. So a person lives like this, he has no simcha ever in life. Because no one's ever yaitzeh with such a person. Not his wife, not his friends. No one's, who could be yaitzeh with such a person? Because he's always waiting to hear his name. He's always waiting to receive recognition. He's always waiting for that, you know, for that opportunity to be recognized, and he doesn't recognize himself. He doesn't work on himself, he doesn't change himself. He only wants the world to appreciate him without himself becoming anything. And this is the opposite of this midah of tmimus that Rabbi Nachman so, and that the Piazetzin hears, and all the Dalech Siddhas were talking about all of the time, expecting us to work on. When a person goes in this way of pashas and tmimus, he never has any tainus or expectations from anyone. Whatever his wife gives him, she's a tzedekah. It's terrific. It's good. Whatever a friend does for him is wonderful. Whatever a father or mother, he always feels a sense of hakaras hatayv. You know, I see this. You see this all the time. You know this with people, that there's some people that you did one or two tayvas for, and for 30 years they're thanking you. And even if they don't say thank you, because you don't let them say it's enough already, but you see that they have hakaras hatayv, right? And there are other people that you could give them time after time after time, and at the end all they have a tainus, how come you didn't do more for me, right? I expected more from you. No matter what you try to do for that person, they always expect more from you. And they always have tainus that you didn't live up to what you were supposed to do for them. I never in my life heard my father ever have a tainus against anybody in this world. I mean, he has tainus against every non-Jew that exists, or ever did exist, but you know, that's a certain style. But as far as Ben Briz, I never heard my father ask my mother for something, never asked us for anything, ever. I mean, I could say ever. This past week, for the first time, my father asked me that I should come to see him. That I should come back. He's not feeling so well. But I never heard my father ever ask for anything. And whatever you do for him, he's grateful. My father will still tell me, my father, I'll be someplace and we'll see somebody. My father will say, you know, I remember when he gave me a lift to the train station. So I said, when was that, Daddy? He says, it was like 1959. Did me a tayv. He's such a tyrant man. He's such a precious person, this guy. And me, I already have I have this guy like a hit list against him, you know what I mean? And my father could have the same hit list, but my father remembers he did me a tayv 40 years ago, 50 years ago, he did me a tayv. And that's a tmimus de gapashtis way that you see this much more by the old timers, by the last generation. We became so lost in so many chachmas, you know, became lost in chachmas. Somebody says, so how you doing? You take out your palm pilot to see how you're doing. It's not just Baruch Hashem, I'm fine. He takes that to find out how he's feeling. mood rings, you remember? No, there were rocks. There were rocks.
Oh, that was a pet. A pet.
Okay, yeah.
Is it typically by men? As far as the idea of getting respect?
By men is much more of a problem. I was talking about that in the Union of Shalom Bais that I spoke about also. I was in Flappish this week. I spoke here in the shul list here about the Union. Because a man b'teva feels that inside of himself he feels that he's nothing, right? Because he comes min ha'afer, right? So he comes from dirt, and he's always running away from that. A woman doesn't come from that; she comes from Adam. So her problem is getting lost in her husband, getting lost in her man. But a man's thing is that ha'afer atov ha'afer tosha. Therefore, a man always needs respect, and the greatest struggle of every male in this world is that. Ma'od ma'od harishal ruach is to be humble, because that need for respect comes from the fact that deep inside of himself he feels that he's nothing. Especially, you have a person that was told that he's nothing. Many of us who grew up not chas v'shalom by hope, not by teachers, by parents, sometimes by friends. Sometimes it could be a parent said to you one time, "You're worthless," and that goes with him his entire life. He can't get rid of that. But he's always running from that Indian. He has to be something. He has to prove himself. He has to prove himself. And how does a man prove himself? He proves himself by being a macher, a knacker, by getting more things. You see, how could I be nothing? My bank account shows that I'm something. How could I be nothing? I have 2 cars, 3 cars. How could I be nothing? I have such a pretty wife, or a pretty girlfriend. So how could I be nothing? So this struggle that man has with that ghost that's chasing after him from. When Adam HaRishon first opened his eyes and realized that he was created from the dirt. That's his thing. Women don't have that much of a struggle with the ego. You know that. Women don't have that. I spoke about that in that Indian, that tape, that shiur. But women, their Indian is to be appreciated, to be respected for who they are. Not respect. To be appreciated, to be acknowledged, to be loved. But they don't have this Indian with ego. But women are always wondering what to do with their husband's ego. Very rarely a husband's wondering what to do with their wife's ego. Very, very rarely. A woman, generally, that's not their Indian, the ego. And you know, 99 out of 100 times, they could say something, they don't say it, and they're moichel in saying it, because they know that it's not worth it, because it's going to touch the wrong button, and the husband, who's the Reish Kol B'nei HaGoyla, is going to get angry. And they know that they have to mechaber the husband. If a wife says, you could have a husband, you'll see this, I see this Kasei, you'll have a husband, that he'll point out in his wife every day 100 things that are wrong about her. 100 things that are wrong. With her personality, with the way she takes care of the children, with the way she takes care of the kids, with the house. 100 things. And if once in a year she says something that she doesn't like about him, forget it. Forget it. He's mole busha chlima. He's angry. He's beregas. He says, you always put me down. You don't respect me. At work they respect me, but if you don't respect me, you don't respect me. And you don't see this with women. It's bechlam not. They feel unappreciated and not loved, but not a question of respect. They don't have this ego, this whole thing, you know. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? You know, if you don't mention the woman's name or something, it's not by them, it's not a big Indian. That's not this. By us, it's a struggle, mamish. Where did you sit? Where do they seat you? You know, you have a woman that cares like this. But where do they put you? Did they put you closer to the podium? Are you further away from the podium? Are you chashuv? Are you not chashuv? You know? And the women don't have this bichlal. They don't have this. Their Indian is because they are something. They want to be appreciated for being something. They want to feel the appreciation. This is all. Why is it that a woman have much greater netiya towards pashtus and tamimus? Is a very interesting inyan. Why is that? Anybody who's ever taught, any teacher knows that it's so much easier to teach women than men. To give a shiur, to talk, to give. And you know also, tamimus is unbelievable. You have. They're more willing to accept. Not only that, they're more willing to work on themselves. That's a pshitus, it's a tamimus. And I mentioned this in the shiur the other day. I once read. That all these self-help books, you know, they have like all these improvements, self-help. I read a statistic that 80% of these are bought by women. Because a woman wants to dig deep into herself to find out who she is and how could she be more sincere and how could she be better. men are afraid to dig deep into themselves, because if they dig deep, they might come back to that me'ofrat, or they might meet up with that dirt that they come from. They might meet up with that nothingness, and they're afraid to dig deep into themselves. Women generally not afraid of that, being introspective. That's why the women always say, can't we talk? We're not talking anymore. And he says, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. She says, we don't talk anymore. So he says, what do you mean? We were talking last night for 2 hours. So it's a totally different thing. She's talking about something else. You were talking about the weather, about the market, about whatever, face, athlete's feet. And you're talking about whatever you talk about, whatever. She wants to talk. So the mzach. She wants to talk about us, about... And he says, what do you mean? What do you mean? And guys get so flustered by that. What do you mean? I don't know. What do you mean? So she wants to talk about us, about our relationship, about life. He goes, and he gets nervous. What are you talking? What do you mean by that? What do you mean? Ah, come on, honey. You know I love you. You know that I love you. You're the best. She walks away. What am I going to do with him? I can't talk to him. He doesn't say anything that's real. He's got that glazed look on his face, like somebody from the. From Gai, from that, what's his name, from Reverend Jones, that takes the drinks juice and ends his life with belonging to some crazy cult. So what cult do we belong to? The cult of the ego. That's all. The cult of these chachmas that the tzaddikim are talking about, of the self, and that whole kind. That I'm involved with people like this. I'm sure you have this with friends, and you know how it is. This is the same. This is always what happens. We're not talking. So I say, are you talking? I said, I'm not even talking. I'm talking about all, I talk all the time. I'm talking all the time. And she says, he says he talks all the time. Yeah, but he's not talking about what I want to talk about. We're not really communicating. You're not really. So I said, she says you're not really communicating. I don't get it. Everybody in shul loves me. Everybody, all my friends think that I'm great. Only my wife doesn't respect me. And he goes like that year after year after year, and she loses respect for him, Lamaise, because a woman can't respect someone who's not real, and that's the underlying problem of all these things. A woman can't. The bottom line, I mean, she can get lost in her own craziness. I'm not talking about that right now. So, but usually it begins from him, and she goes along, because if I don't go along, then what am I going to have? He's going to make me mishug. He'll be angry with me. So therefore, she learns to keep her mouth closed, and she learns not to criticize or say anything what she really thinks, because if she would say what she thinks, then he would go crazy. But he criticizes her 1,000 times a day, and she has to sit and listen to all this criticism, and she's not allowed to say one word, and she learns, this is the way I better behave, because it doesn't pay. When I say, why don't you talk to him, tell him what's bothering you, she says, Rabbi, you think I'm crazy? I tried that once in 1972. I told him what I'm really thinking in 1972. You know what it cost me? You know how much aggravation I had from it? It doesn't pay. Like this. So where do you find your... Where do you, so I said, she says, I have a close friend that... We talk. No? Hameven Yoven. If I go into this anymore by Riches, it's not going to be good for anybody. But Hameven Yoven, we have to try to understand and to be real and to come back to this way of Tamimus and Pashtus. And then if we do that, then our davening would also be real. You don't think the Baruch Shalom is the same tightness? The Baruch Shalom is the same thing. The Baruch Shalom will say to us, how come you don't talk to me? So I say, what are you talking about? Shachus Mechamar every day. Ni'ilah, Musaf. I talk to you. Nah. So we're going to say, I can't believe he's like my wife. Same thing. I said Ishtabach, I said everything. He still tells me I didn't talk to him. It's the same thing. Because Baruch should help us that our words should be real, and that our lives should be real. We should be Zechem Mitzvah for a real rule of Yeshua. Amen.